I felt just compelled to mention, you know, we have a lot of people out that are sick, as you know. Many of you have been sick and gotten over, whether it's the flu, the cron, as I like to call it, or just whatever you have, okay? So there's a lot of things going on. We have a lot of people out that are sick, and we just want to remember them in prayer. So let me just stop right now. I want to pray again for those people. Father, we know that illness and sickness is going on really like never before. All kinds, all variations, and all strains, Lord. But we know that you are the great physician, and I pray especially right now, Lord God, just for healing. For healing for people that are really feeling the effects of whether it's COVID, or whether it's the flu, or whether it's just the sniffles, or whatever it is, Lord God. We do pray for a physical healing for people. We come together, Lord, as a community. You said where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. Lord, we're gathered together, and we want to acknowledge and pray for those of our family that are not doing well. And we ask for that healing today in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, even if you are not sick, even if you haven't been sick, mentally, I think we've all been a little bit drained, right? We're going on, I just looked at the clock here, we're going on 2 years of all of this. And you can get really weary. And I want all of us to know, I want myself to know and you to know that there's encouragement in the Lord today, that we need to stop thinking and being weighed down. You know, yesterday, I'll be honest with you, I started thinking and getting in my head about stuff and I started getting down. We're all susceptible to it. We need to think upon the Lord. We need to fill those thoughts with the Lord. I know I needed to do that yesterday, and after, you know, wrestling a little bit, I did that, and I pray that you can do that too. But let's dive into the Word of God, because we know that there's something powerful about this Word. It is like no other book. It is supernatural. To the extent that we take it, and we take the precepts, we take the commandments, we take the things that are written in it, and we apply it to our heart. Many people think that this book is outdated. I know many of our people have it on the shelf, the Tanakh on the shelf. It's collecting dust or whatever. But we need to pick it up, dust it off, and open it up. Even if it's just a verse a day, a chapter a day, we need to get into God's Word like never before. And we're going to dive in. In the Bible, we're told that there are two big commandments. We are to love the Lord our God, and we are to love others, right? We heard this, we know this, we talk about this. These two stipulations, these two commandments, these two mitzvah, loving God and loving other people, are the basis for all the other commandments in the 613, certainly the basis for the Ten Commandments, and really the basis for the entire Bible, because the Lord shows us these verses throughout the Bible. We see it in the Torah. I'm going to be reading from that in a minute. We see it in the Brit Hadashah. Yeshua talks about these verses. So it connects us into God's Word. The thing is, we talk a lot about loving God. Every week, practically, I'm up here saying, how do we love the Lord with all our heart, strength, soul, and mind? How do we apply that to our lives? How do we get closer, deeper, go there with God, and just become a better disciple of the Lord? Become a better Talmidim. So we talk a lot about loving God, serving God, following after Yeshua. Today, I want to be focusing on the other of the two big commandments, which is loving our neighbor. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. In the Torah, which is what Yeshua quoted from, we see the instance where it talks about loving our neighbor. If you go to Leviticus 19:17, just get right there, and might take you a second or two. But you know, Yeshua reiterated this. Hillel, one of the great Jewish rabbis that came a century or a generation before Yeshua, mentioned that basically everything is predicated in the Torah on loving other people. And this is what it says, Leviticus 19:17-18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your brother, with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Imagine how this world would be if we did that, all of us. Not only the people of God, but really everybody, if we loved our neighbor. Now, this verse, or these verses, this concept, loving other people, loving our neighbor, it comes into play when we look at our passage as we go through the book of Matthew. When we go through the book of Matthew, we come to Matthew 7. That's where we are today. And it's Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is our text. And Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is all about judging other people. You have all, I know this, so don't tell me you haven't heard this. Everybody's heard the phrase, judge not, right? Usually it's when you're pointing something out to somebody. What do? They pull out Matthew 7 and they say, judge not, right? Don't judge me. It's a very misunderstood passage, so I really want to break it down for us today and go through biblically why God tells us these things. Yeshua tells us these things. People use judge not as an excuse to do whatever they want in their lives. We've probably done that. Today I want to look at the biblical godly method for when and how we're to judge people. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Wow. Now, like I said, it's a verse everybody quotes, but then everybody stops after that verse and doesn't really look at the context of what Yeshua is talking about or the underlying scriptural basis for this. But we begin here. The judgment we used, we will be judged by, quite simply. The way we approach our relationship with others, we gotta really catch this. The way we approach our relationship with other people should be based on the way God has a relationship with us. The way you and I approach anybody else in the world is predicated based on the way God approaches us and we interact with God. This is vitally important for us to understand. God created you and me for fellowship with Him. He created us to worship Him. He created us to walk in the Garden of Eden and hear His voice, okay? Obviously, we're not there today, right? We're far from the Garden of Eden. This is not the Garden of Eden. I wish it was, but it is so not the Garden of Eden. But God wanted us to live in harmony with Him. God wanted us to worship Him. But because of sin, there has become a separation. We talk about this a lot. Between our relationship with the one who created us. Turn with me to Romans. There's a couple of verses in Romans that I quote quite a bit, but it lays the foundation for understanding the relationship problem we have with God, which then can affect the relationship problem we have with other people. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means you and that means me. We sin, we mess up. We mess up more than we probably want to admit in our lives. But if we're honest with ourselves, we fall short of the glory of God. This is a huge problem. This is a huge chasm that we have. But God has provided a way in His mercy. God has provided a way, and it's called grace. The definition of grace is unmerited favor. Favor is when you favor somebody, right? If you favor somebody in your life, you give them gifts, you love them, you want to spend time with them, you make them a priority. Unmerited favor is when you and I don't deserve that, but God still gives it to us anyway. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. So we sin, we fall short of that relationship with God, but because God loves us so much, He provides a way, and that way is Messiah, Yeshua. He died for us. Now that love and that mercy you and I have received that we did not deserve should then be extended to others. The relationship we now have with our Father because of that grace and mercy, we should be going out of our way to show grace and mercy to others. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. I wanted to go to the book of Luke for a minute. I thought this was a great verse. And I think it ties together what we're trying to tie together, which is the relationship we have with God should be the relationship we seek to have with other people. Luke 6:36, be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. So God has been merciful to you and me. We didn't deserve it, but He was. In that same way, the Bible says in Luke 6:36, be merciful. That means be merciful to other people. Point number one, we are to show grace to others. Whenever the judgment or judging situation comes up, we should always go back to ground zero, which is we've been shown grace and we're to show grace to others. That's got to be the foundation. Now, this is not a message of you just let people do whatever they want and you just love them no matter what. That's not what this message is about. But we have to lay the foundation for biblical judgment, proper biblical judgment. And that is, we are to show grace to others as God has shown grace to us. This is what should be our primary concern when we deal with other people. And listen, our primary thing should be grace, not emotion. When we base things on emotion with other people, we say things like, well, they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them, right? An eye for an eye. It's only right. It should not be based on logic. Well, they deserve it. They're bad people, right? They don't deserve grace. Look at what they've done. It should not be based on emotion or logic, but on grace or unmerited favor. Okay, now back to our text today, Matthew 7. That's a pretty powerful word today. And something that we all struggle with, I think. Matthew 7, 3 and 4. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? Okay, you've also heard this quoted, right? Yeah. Don't talk to me about specks. Look at that log. Go away. You know, people do these things. But this is such a profound word. Before we can even think about judging other people, we have to show grace, but we also need to look at ourselves. That's what this is saying, okay? The first thing we should do. One of the easiest things for you and I to do is to look and find specks. Forget logs. You and I can look at, find the tiniest speck in our brother or sister's eye. We're very good at it, right? We could say, whoop, you're doing this wrong in your life. I see this. This is pretty clear. This is black and white. We have no problem doing that, but we do have a problem looking at logs even in our own eyes because people are not honest with themselves. You know, honesty is such a lonely word. Should I continue with the song? Does everybody remember the song? Okay, thank you. Billy Joel. Love that song. Honesty. Honesty is so important. And when we don't have honesty with ourselves, we really can't do this judging business. We need to look within. We need to look at our motives. Why did we react that way? Why did we say that thing? Why did we act that way? What's in our heart? Turn with me to the book of Lamentations. It's a little bit of a Debbie Downer book, but it proves the point here of what we're trying to talk about. Lamentations is all about lamenting, and it's Israel, right? The prophet's lamenting Israel's sin. The prophet is lamenting Israel's exile. And in Lamentations 3:40, it says, let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us test and examine our ways. Are we testing and examining our heart? When you and I are reacting to someone or something, we should ask ourselves, first of all, why am I acting this way? You know, I do this all the time. Whoever it's with, I know you do it too. We should stop and say, Wait a minute, why did I react so viscerally to this person? What's going on? What is going on with me? Maybe it's based on past hurts or trauma. Maybe there was a triggering word that somebody said to us. Maybe we're just taking up an offense because we're so upset that they pointed out that log in our eye without seeing the splinters in their eye, right? Or vice versa. But this is hard work. Introspection is hard work. Honesty is hard work. But the thing is, we need to let the Lord in to help us do the work. Many times we don't even know how to get to those recesses of our minds because we push things underneath the carpet so long. Because we have stopped and not wanted to think about it because it's too traumatic. We have to go to those places. We have to light those dark areas, and we can't do it ourselves. We need God to help get us into those dark areas where you don't let anybody else in and where we won't even go ourselves. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we'll start with verse 23. We don't have to do it alone. It's hard work. God, let God in to help you do this. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now that doesn't sound like you're trying to do it yourself. Search me, God, and then show me what to do differently. We are called to be light bearers of the Messiah. The whole theme this year is the light. We are to be examples to a dark world about the light of Messiah. Now, that means we have a responsibility, you and me, to examine ourselves and really try to clean out some stuff that is there, because people are going to see it. People are going to see it, and here's the sad part. People are going to form decisions. People are going to form perceptions about God based on what they see in us. So that should keep us really sober and want us to, you know, have a good testimony, have a good walk, work through these issues. Point number two, we need to continually judge our hearts. So the judgment needs to start with us. We need to continually judge our hearts. Now, if we go back to Matthew, now we can keep going. Matthew 7, verse 5. Now Yeshua gets a little heated, right? He says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So let's get fixed first. Let's get through these things. And nobody's perfect. We're still a work in progress. I've been a believer for 30 plus years, and I'm still working on it. You've been a believer for however long, if you're a follower of Yeshua, whether it's a month or 50 years, and you're still working on it. The key point here in this verse, and the one that everybody misses, is once we do the hard work of taking out the logs and the splinters from us, once we do the self-examination and work through our issues, then we're told to help our brother take the speck out of their eye. This is where the godly judgment does come in. It's not, well, if you feel like it, it's Yeshua says, do it. Then you could take the speck out of their eye. Don't just leave them alone. Judging should be helping. Judging should be helping. The text doesn't say don't judge them under any circumstances. Let the Lord deal with them. It doesn't say that. We need to be in the right place in our lives to be in a position to help correct in a godly way others. Turn with me to Proverbs 15, verse 23. Now, this is where wisdom and discernment should come in for us, right? Sometimes the Lord shows you and me a situation. He shows somebody that we need to go talk to, but it's not the time to talk to them yet. Maybe he shows it to us to simply pray. Honestly, maybe he shows it to us so that we can look at our lives and see the same thing. I don't know. He's speaking. We have to have wisdom. We have to have discernment. We have to understand what is God speaking to us. It's not always go talk to them and correct them and get them straight. It's not always that. We may do more damage if we approach people before it is time in the Lord. Proverbs 15:23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Amen. A word in season, how good it is. But you know what? A word spoken out of season, how bad it is, right? I mean, people, when we speak to somebody, we should speak with the grace and love of God, of course, but we should speak directly to them. But we should speak when God prompts us. And sometimes God asks us to wait. Sometimes God asks us to move. But the problem is, you and I just want to know the answer. Just give me the answer. Tell me I should go talk to them. Tell me I should go over here. Tell me I should do this. Tell me what I should do with my life. Tell me what I should eat for breakfast. You know, we want simple answers from God, and it doesn't work like that. Biblically speaking, it doesn't work like that. Sometimes it goes against our logic. It goes against our emotion. Sometimes it's not a simple answer. Sometimes God wants us to linger a bit because he's trying to teach us about something. So we need to linger a bit and let wisdom, discernment, and the Ruach, right, the Spirit of the living God, show us when to do these things. Because, now turn to the book of Yaakov, James, chapter 1, verse 5. A lot of good scripture about this if we kind of go through and piece it together. But in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. You and I don't have to worry that God is going to correct us and reproach us if we come to him. You ever felt that way with somebody? Like, oh, if I go and I ask them, they're going to just, you know, go off on me. Without reproach, God gives you and I generously wisdom. Let's ask him. When God calls us to act or to speak to someone, it should be as the Lord leads. It should be in the wisdom of the Lord, not the knowledge of you and me. We can't rely on our intellect. We can't rely on our education. We can't rely on our emotions as the Lord leads us. Those are all good things, but they have to be used in conjunction and firstly with the prompting of the Lord. Point number three, loving correction is from the Lord. Loving correction is from the Lord and not from us. That's why it has to be done with wisdom and discernment in the Ruach. When the Lord leads you to correct someone in love, think of yourself as a humble messenger, as a conduit of God, rather than somebody that's going to school somebody else, right? Think of yourself as someone who's going to be communicating the very words of God to a brother or sister that needs that, because it should be from God and not from us. Okay, now, let's go to the last verse of the passage, Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give to dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Okay, this is a great scripture. This is an interesting scripture. He's pointing it out and using some pretty poignant imagery, right? Don't give your pearls to pigs. Pigs, of course, were considered unclean, you know, swine, and they really were not, you know, nice animals. You know, pigs are not, they're messy animals and all this stuff, and they're unclean, you know, they're treif. But at first glance, when we read this verse, it seems a bit out of place in the context of judging other people. But it does relate. We need to have discernment when we go to people in correction. We need to know how and when to approach people in loving correction. Like I said, it may not be the time to talk to somebody, because if we talk to somebody when it's not the time, you're literally throwing pearls to pigs. What are the pigs going to do with pearls? They don't even know what they are. Maybe they try to eat them. Maybe they stomp on them. Maybe they just sniff them and then just move on. They're not going to receive the pearls. You may be giving such great wisdom, pearls of truth, you know, the pearl of great price, right? That's the passage that we also read. That's the parable. But when you're throwing it, and the imagery is to pigs, okay, I'm not saying the people you're talking to are pigs. We're saying it's the imagery, so just understand. We got to understand the context here. The point is, pearls and pigs don't mix. You are not going to get through to somebody if they're not ready to listen to you. And God is the one to detect that, not you and I. Many times, God asks us to go and speak to people and say something. And you know what? A lot of times when God asks you to speak to somebody, guess what? It is an encouraging word sometimes, but many times it's not pleasant what we have to speak to them. In love, of course, but it is not pleasant. God gives you something and you have to go and correct somebody. That's never fun. We don't want to do that. We don't want to offend people. You know, this whole world operates on the God of not offending anybody, right? Political correctness has gone so far off track in the last 30 years. But at the sake of not offending anybody, we don't go to people in the Lord when we need to speak God's words, because God uses people to accomplish his purposes many times. He used prophets. He used Moses. We talked about how Moses was used by God. He uses you and I if we will allow him to. But we don't want to offend. We don't want to make waves. We don't want to lose a friend. Serving the Lord can be a very lonely road sometimes. You ever felt pretty lonely on that road? Serving the Lord can be a very lonely road sometimes. You may not be popular. It's fun to be popular. It's not fun to not be popular. But better to listen to the voice of the Lord and walk with him than to walk with the praises from men. I'm not saying we can't have praises from men, and I'm not saying we can't have friendships and connection and all these things. Those are wonderful things. But sometimes when God asks us to do things, it's a very lonely road, and we are lonely on it. But we're never without the Lord. We're never without our best friend and our Creator God. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, book of Galatians. Book of Galatians has some really great words in it. And in chapter 6, verse 1, it says this: Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. We talked about that. keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Why? Because it is tempting to go to somebody and let them have it, right? They may really deserve it, but let's go to them. Let's help restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Our goal with restoration should be to help somebody. Correction is meant to not lower somebody, but ultimately to lift them up. Closer to God, right? That's what correction should do. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians is a very good book when it deals with the subject of how to relate to other people, specifically within the congregation. In 1 Corinthians, places like chapter 5, we're instructed throughout the whole chapter to judge other people with regard to the issue of sexual immorality. It's a big issue today. It was a big issue back then. We are called to godly judge people in things like that. And in chapter 6, it's regarding disagreements and lawsuits. We like to think everything's going to be happy amongst believers. Unfortunately, there's problems even amongst believers. And sometimes family can be dysfunctional in many ways, messy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Or do you not know that the saints, that's you and I, will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? This is something that mature believers need to do, because God wants to use mature believers to speak to other believers and help the body of Messiah. But unfortunately, because we have this whole, we don't want to offend somebody, we don't want to lose a friend, we don't want to do something that's unpopular, we don't do it. But you know what? God calls us to do it in the Lord. Point number 4, we are to practice godly judgment. Practice godly judgment. Doesn't just come naturally. Practice. God uses people, as I said, to accomplish his purposes. And when he asks us, let's be ready to move in godly judgment. You know, many times, most of the time, he calls you and I to wait. In those periods of waiting, we should be applying God's word to our lives. We should be growing in the Lord. We should be getting filled up with the Lord, because when he asks us to pour it out to other people in the form of praise and worship or teaching or you know, cantering or whatever, or serving in the kitchen or whatever it is, that's great. But he also asks each and every one of us to go to each other in loving correction at times. And I don't know the right time to do it. You don't know the right time to do it. But in the Lord, he's going to show us the right time to do it. And we need to practice that while we're waiting. Because then when he says move, we don't have to say, wait a minute, I'm not ready yet. Just give me 5 years. I'll be okay. You know, we got to be ready for when he says to move. As I mentioned before, the concept of judging and judging other people is very misunderstood. It's not PC. It's not for today's world, but people get it wrong all the time. But when it is done right, it is restorative. When it is done right, it is redemptive. It is good and pleasing to the Lord. Showing grace to other people, working on ourselves first, lovingly correcting others as God prompts us, and practicing that godly judgment, these are the stuff of mature believers. We got to move past the milk and get to the meat. Yeshua is saying this because he wanted the people 2,000 years ago, and he wants us today to move on. It's great to bask in the milk for a while, but then you can get a little lactose intolerant, you know what I mean? You need to move on to get to that juicy steak. And it is juicy. And it is good. It's good protein. But, you know, the thing is, people need the words of God in their lives. You could very well be the one to give it in love to them today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you're perfect. You teach us how to live like you. Yes, we fall short. Yes, we mess up. Yes, we say wrong things, do wrong things, act wrong ways. But Lord, you have grace and mercy for us. Help us to show that same grace and mercy to others. Help us to understand when it is time to stop, when it is time to act. We pray, Lord God, that you would give us wisdom and discernment, and that Ruach, you would fill us so that we would be prompted. We will be prompted to do the things you desire. You must increase in our lives. We must decrease. So, Lord, we got to work on our lives. We got to work on it every day. And sometimes you ask other people to speak to us, and sometimes you ask us to speak to other people. But Lord, when it's done here in our community and throughout the body, may it be done in redemptive and restorative ways to bring a brother or sister back in love. May it be done in a healthy manner to where there is peace, there is joy, and there is restoration. We thank you, God, for this word, and we pray that it gets deep down into our heart of hearts and that we can practice it in our lives. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.